But tonight we want to look at some reasons we should all be thankful for Northside. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, we want to thank the Lord for His church, and we do. We're so thankful that Jesus came and died and that He established the church and that the day of Pentecost and the church doors, so to speak, were opened. Peter used the keys to the kingdom to open it up and let everybody start flowing in. And it's one thing to look at that and say, we're thankful for that. But what about our congregation? Are we thankful for our congregation? Because sometimes we run the risk, what's the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. That sometimes, because these are the saints that we are around all the time, their halos seem to be a little tarnished. And we look at another church somewhere else, maybe a bigger church or maybe a richer church. You know, we look at some other church and we're like, I wish I could go to church like that one. And we need to remember instead to look for the good in this congregation and build on that good and make it better. The old saying of the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. I saw one time a picture that had, there was a corner of the fence where the two fences came together, and there was a cow in each field. And each one had her neck stuck through the fence to the field that the other cow, all the way around. The grass wasn't good enough for them in their field. They had to reach through and eat the grass in the other cow's field. We need to look for the good, rejoice in the good, be thankful for it, and help do those things that will help to sustain it and grow it. And if we can do that, then we'll have even more to be thankful for next time around. So let's look then at some reasons that we should be thankful for the congregation here at Northside. First of all, we should be thankful for a faithful congregation to work, worship, and be a part of. You know, there are a lot of congregations, even congregations that call themselves Church of Christ and that claim that they're the Lord's church, that aren't doing those things that God has commanded us to do. And so we need to be thankful that we're part of a faithful congregation that is standing for what is right. And that doesn't mean that it's a perfect congregation. The only perfect church is in the mind of God and in the description of His plan in the Scriptures. But as soon as human beings become part of that God-given blueprint, we foul it up, and it's not a perfect church anymore in that respect. But we have to remember as well that Christ, by His blood, does cleanse us. And we can be faithful, and we can be perfect in God's eyes and beautiful in His eyes, even though we may not be perfect humans and may not be part of a congregation that's just the most perfect thing that there could be. But we grow that. We work on that. We try to correct those problems that we have and do better in the future so that we can be closer to that perfect ideal that God has laid out for us in Scripture. And so we'll look at some of those things as well tonight. But as we look at that, Romans 1 and verse 8, Paul, as he writes to the church in Rome, says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." That congregation in Rome was apparently a faithful congregation. They were so full of faith that their congregation was spoken of throughout the world as being one that was faithful to the Lord. And he was thankful to God for that. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And he says pretty much the same thing to the church in Colossians, that they thank God, praying always for you since they heard of the faith. But notice what he says there, that after I heard of your faith, I cease not to give thanks for you because of your faith. Having faith and having a faithful congregation is important. And we need to be thankful. And of course, with that thanksgiving also comes the responsibility of making sure that the congregation remains faithful, that we're ever watchful and take heed that we're not overcome by those who would come in and try to change the faith and corrupt it into something else. And we have to remember that not everyone has a faithful congregation nearby that they can go to. There are some places where the nearest faithful congregation may be 100 miles away. Can you imagine? So some of us would think, well, I had to drive 5 or 10 or 15 miles to come to church. What if you had to drive 100 miles one way to get to a congregation where you could worship God in spirit and in truth? So we need to be thankful that the church is nearby, that we're close enough to it, that it's a faithful church that we're close to. Because not everyone is blessed with that. And of course, there are some countries where, you know, there is no church at all. And the Bible isn't even available to the people in those countries. And Christians are persecuted. So the fact that we have just right down the road from us a congregation where the truth is studied and taught and practiced, and we can go there freely, well, we need to be thankful for that. That we have a faithful congregation to work, worship, and be a part of. Then we also should be thankful for each member of the congregation who has gained these things, that, as we mentioned them. We need to be thankful for each member who has received the Word. You know, if we hadn't received the Word, where would we be? This building would be empty if we hadn't received the Word. Well, this building wouldn't have even been built if we hadn't received the Word. So the fact that we have received the Word, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Well, what cause? "Because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God." So that we received the Word of God, and that we've received it as the Word of God. You know, some people, when they hear the Word of God, they don't give it any heed. They don't believe it to be the Word of God. So the fact that each member here has received the Word and received it not as though it's just the Word of men, but received it as the Word of God, which indeed it is. So we need to be thankful for each member who has done that. And we need to be thankful for each member who has been chosen for salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We read 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Now here's 2 Thessalonians 2:13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So God He's chosen us to be saved. Now, you know, we ought to treat each other a little better, seeing how God has chosen us. That ought to make us a special group of people, and we ought to treat each other especially because of that. Notice what he said, that through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And that goes back to that receiving the Word. Those who reject the Word aren't chosen by God to be saved. But those of us who receive the Word, then we're chosen to be saved by God, to be sanctified by the Spirit. We need to be thankful for each member who has obeyed. You know, there are many who received the Word. They heard the Word. And they had the opportunity. They were given by that Word the power to become the sons of God. But they didn't obey it. They didn't choose to follow that Word that they had heard. Romans 6:17 says, "But God be thanked." Notice, it wasn't "thank you for doing it." It's "we thank God for these things." "God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." So each of us as we have the choice to either obey or disobey. But Paul doesn't say, thank you for obeying the gospel, or thank you for obeying the doctrine received. He says, thanks be to God. Do we often thank God for the fact that the other members of the congregation obeyed the truth? Oh, we may thank God that we were able to hear the truth and come to it. But what about the others in the congregation? That's what Paul's doing. He is thanking God that the Christians in Rome obeyed the gospel. We might want to thank them for obeying it, but no. We thank God for it. Not only have they received the word and been chosen for salvation and obeyed that doctrine, but we need to be thankful for each member who has received God's grace. And we need to be thankful not only for ourselves, but for one another, that we've been counted worthy. Notice what 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf. See, he says, just in case you forget to thank him, I'm going to thank him for you. Okay? And he says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you. Oh, we need to thank God for that grace. Do you realize that under the Old Testament law, you had to be a Jew in order to be one of God's chosen people? And we're not Jews. We need to thank God that grace was given to us. And we need to be willing to thank Him for others. And one of the things that thinking of others, you notice, these are all things that we're thankful for about the other members of the congregation. It helps us to see them in a different light. It helps us to have a different attitude toward our fellow Christians, because instead of being self-centered and thanking God for, thank you God for me, when we start thanking God for others, then it's going to change the way we look at those others that we're thanking Him for. We're not going to want to talk bad about them behind their back. We're not going to want to be mean to them, to their face. Because we start to realize that these are people who were chosen by God for salvation. These are people that God counted worthy to receive His grace. Then we need to treat these people with a little bit of respect. Remember, you know, sometimes we think, you know, I've been chosen by God, and how I thank Him for that. And how much I appreciate that. And I'm a child of God. But we forget. So is he, and so is she, and so is she, and so is he. And God's not a parent who only has one child. You know, sometimes we get the impression, well, I'm an only child. That's not the case. We have brothers and sisters. And we need to be thankful for them. And thankful that they have a heavenly Father just like we do. We need to be thankful that each member. Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Talk about being children of God, the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Well, we've been delivered. And has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been translated. In whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. We've been forgiven. Well, look at that. Those are some rich verses. We get an inheritance. We've been delivered. We've been translated. We've been redeemed and forgiven. And when we look out, When I stand here and I see a congregation of people who have those blessings, I can't help but thank God for that. And of course, then what we need to think of, and obviously we want as many people as possible to be able to enjoy these same things. We want to, I don't want to just thank God for 30 or 50 or 70 people. I want to be able to thank God for 1,000 people or hundreds of, or 1,000,000 people who have those benefits and blessings from God. Again, we want to spread this spirit of thanksgiving and these blessings that we've received. So we need to be thankful for every member that has received those blessings. But then we also need to be thankful for a place, a congregation, a church, where we can do these following things. We need to be thankful for a place where we can triumph in Christ. You ever think about this? We are winning the victory every day in Christ. We forget that sometimes. Sometimes it seems as though the battle is turning against us. Sometimes it feels like we're losing. But we're winning. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. We may see when we go out there and people don't respond to the gospel, when they don't respond, when we invite people to come and they don't come to church with us, We may feel rejected. We may feel like we've lost. That's not the case. God's favor, the favor of His knowledge, has been shown by us. And we're victorious. Notice what it says. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. One football team that was hoping to have an undefeated season lost today. One that was hoping to have an undefeated season lost yesterday. One in college and one in the professional ranks. That happens most of the time. It's kind of unusual for a team to not ever lose a game. But notice what Paul tells us. He always causes us to win in Christ. Christ never loses, and if we're in Christ, we'll never lose. That's something to be thankful for. I dare say all those colleges out there and all those professional sports teams, if they had a winning season, they'd be thankful. If they had a perfect season, ooh, they'd be so excited. I know Alabama wasn't expected to do as well as they've done this year, and they're all excited. They expect they're going to win all the way and be the national champions, and I don't know whether that'll happen or not, but they'll be excited if that does happen. I guarantee you. The Bible promises us that if we're in Christ, we always win. Always triumph. Doesn't matter if it looks like we're behind. Doesn't matter if it seems like the other team has more people on its side, or that they're bigger or badder. Well, we hope they're badder because we want to be gooder. But it doesn't matter what's on the other team, because Christ is on our team, and if we're on His team, we always win. That's something to be thankful for. And this is a place where we can triumph in Christ. You know, it's sad, we talked about in class this morning, that some in the denominational world, they're more confident in their salvation than we are. We're the ones who have the victory in Christ, and we need to start acting like it. We run around with this hangdog look on our face like everything in the world's going bad and we're losing, and that's the wrong attitude. We've got to have some confidence. Have you read this book all the way to the end? Because I'm going to tell you a secret. If you haven't, you get back there to that last book of Revelation, you know what? We win at the end! If we're on God's side, we win. We need to keep that in mind, and we need to have the kind of confidence that comes from not just hoping that we'll be saved, not just thinking we might be saved, but knowing that we are going to be saved and knowing that we have that victory in Christ. Now, we sing that song sometimes. It's been a while since we've sung that song, Victory in Jesus. But we need to believe that. We need to know that. Not just say, well, I hope so. All right, we spent a lot of time on that one, but that's an important one. We've got to remember that victory. But this is also a place where we can help through our prayers. We need to be thankful for that. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 11 says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Notice what he says. You're helping by prayers. We may not be able to do everything, but we can pray. Every single one of us can be praying. May not be able to do everything, but we can do something. And we help by our prayers. That's what I say. You also helping together by prayer. You know, if the apostles needed help through prayer, then you know our elders do, our preacher, our deacons. We need all the help we can get. And one of the ways that can help the most is through prayer. We need to be thankful that we have a place where we can fellowship in the gospel. And by fellowship here, this passage, Philippians 1, 3 through 7, doesn't talk about like a fellowship meal like we sometimes have. That's not like, you know, we're going to have our birthday fellowship Tuesday night and get together and eat some cake and ice cream or whatever. That's not the kind of fellowship that he's talking about. Here he's talking about the fellowship of financially aiding the spread of the gospel. Notice what he says. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that he which has begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And he goes on to talk about them being a partaker of his bonds and his defense and confirmation of the gospel. And what do you think about that? You know, I doubt any of us could afford to go take a mission trip. You know, it costs thousands of dollars to get plane tickets and all of those things, and to go and or maybe to buy a bunch of Bibles that are translated. And we say, well, I can't afford to do something like that. But you know, through the work of the church here, when we contribute to the church as a whole, we're able then to do some of those things through another. That's what the church in Philippi was able to do. The church in Philippi was not a wealthy church. They were a poor church, but they were able to give some money to the spread of the gospel by helping Paul, by sending him some money. They weren't able to take off from their jobs and go take a missionary journey all the way around the Mediterranean Sea, but they could support the man who could do that. So when we send money to a preaching school, or we send money to a missionary that's in a foreign country, we're having fellowship in the gospel and in the spreading of the gospel. When we give some money that helps to pay for the house to be sent out to spread the gospel in our communities, we're helping. Even though sometimes there are things and places that we couldn't go and things we couldn't do, but we have some fellowship in the gospel. And we're able to do that here. You know, some places, they don't do anything. They don't give anybody anything to help spread the gospel. One artist who was asked to draw a picture of a dead church, he drew a picture of the Lord's Supper table, and he drew a picture with the collection plates with cobwebs in them. Beautiful church, beautiful chandeliers and fine woodwork everywhere, and beautiful church. They said, well, that doesn't look like a dead church. That's a beautiful church. He said, look right there. But that's a dead church. So they're not giving. If they're not giving, then they can't be doing anything. Then they're not going to be able to spread the gospel. That's a very important thing, to be able to have that fellowship in the gospel. And then we need to be thankful for a place where we can love all the saints. Love all the saints. And I know some saints are harder to love than others. But we can love all of the saints. And we can love not only the saints in our local congregation and part of our local family, we can love the saints all over the world. And we can show them that love in so many ways, by praying for them, by helping with missionary work. We can do all kinds of things that will help and encourage them. We could send them a card or a letter, and we can do all those things. Love all the saints, but especially the saints here. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. We need to love one another. And we need to not just love those that are easy to love. Jesus made it very clear that, hey, even the sinners love those who love them. That's no big deal. But when you love somebody that is hard to love, that's when you've really shown the love of God. When the person who just absolutely drives you insane and makes you so mad sometimes you want to... But when you can love that person, that's when you're starting to get the hang of this thing called Christianity. Christianity is not about loving those that are easy to love. Christ didn't just come to love those that were easy to love. He came to love everyone. And we also are thankful that we have a place where we can work in faith and love. 1 Thessalonians. I didn't even read that verse in Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. And that's what they had in Colossae. They had love for all the saints. And that was the same thing also that he said in the letter to the Ephesians in verse 5 and 6. But then we're also thankful that we have a place where we can work in faith and love. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2 through 10. We're not going to read this whole section, but he says, we give thanks to God always for you all. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's going to show up. If we're working in faith and love, as opposed to if we're working out of duty and fear, it's going to make a difference in the work that we perform. And it's going to show up in our attitude, and it's going to show up in the quality of the work that we do for the Lord. But then also, we can be thankful for a place where we can bring joy to one another. You ever think about that? Bringing joy to others? Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Are we joyful because of the relationships that we have with one another as Christians? Does it bring us joy? It should. Hopefully it does. We're supposed to be joyful. Are you joyful? Are you bringing joy to others? That's what we need to be doing. And we can be thankful for the joy that others bring to us, as well as then being able to bring joy to them. Then we need to be thankful for a place where we can grow in faith. You know, sometimes congregations are content, and individuals within congregations are content to just stay where they are. Well, you know, I became a Christian, and that's good enough. I know I've seen congregations where, and heard of congregations where they may have 100 people on Sunday morning and they only have 20 back on Sunday night. Some folks that they're just content to just come Sunday morning only. That's enough for them. But we need to be growing in our faith. And this is a place where we can grow. We have the opportunity to do that. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. So there goes back to that love. Yeah, there's this faith and love thing, that must be a pretty important part of Christianity. It just keeps coming up again and again. The thanksgiving for growing. But I'm going to tell you something, growing hurts sometimes. You get some growing pains. And you outgrow some of your favorite clothes. And you outgrow some of your favorite toys. And you have to give them up because you've outgrown them. Growing in faith means making some sacrifices, giving up some things. Some of us aren't ready to do that. We like too many of the things of the world to outgrow them. And we'll keep hanging on to those things. We've got to grow. If we're going to really be able to thank God for growing, we've got to do the growing. We need to be thankful for a place where we can make wonderful memories. 2 Timothy 1:3, and I know that Paul is talking to one individual in particular here, but I think there are others that he could have said the same thing about in whole congregations. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He says to Timothy, I am so thankful to God that I remember you. That I have a remembrance of you in my prayers every day and every day. You know, there are some people who, if we remember them in our prayers every day, it's not a joyful thing. But then there are some, Paul is just so thankful of the memories that he has of Timothy. That remembering him in prayer is a joyful thing, and it's a good thing, and he's thankful for that. But not only all of those things, we also need to be thankful for a place where we can share our suffering. 1 Peter 2:19 says, for this is thankworthy, in other words, it's worthy of giving thanks, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, or suffers wrongfully. Wow. You know, if somebody that's that dedicated to prayer, that is something worthy of giving thanks to God for, that somebody will suffer and endure grief for the sake of Christ. But do you know how much easier it is if you have somebody else around you to share in that suffering with you? All of us have times of grief. All of us have times of suffering and sorrow. And there's nothing worse that I can think of on this earth than having to go through a time of suffering and sorrow and grief alone. And we don't have to do that. As Christians, with a family full of loving brothers and sisters here at Northside, we don't have to go through that alone. Whatever it is, whether it's suffering, wrongdoing, and Paul was talking from experience because he had been on both sides of that. He had got, remember he said, at my first trial, no one stood with me. He had to go through it alone. But then there were other times where he said, let me tell you about this guy. And I never can pronounce his name quite right. It's Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, which is different than Onesimus, which is in Philemon. But Onesiphorus, he said he, while I was here in prison in Rome, he came and he sought me out. He came all the way from another place to come to where I was and look for me and search for me. And oh, he has refreshed my soul. That's what he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He talks about the fellow came and sought me out. Chapter 3, not chapter 4. And oh, how much easier it is to suffer when you have somebody there by your side. You can make it through. That's why, you ever notice what they do with prisoners who really misbehave? What do they do with them? They put them in solitary confinement. Because there's nothing worse than being all by yourself. and suffering. Being lonely. Well, I hope that you're as thankful for these things about the congregation here at Northside as I am. And I know we probably didn't touch on everything. I found those scriptures about how Paul and Peter and different ones were thankful for those different things about those congregations, and I thought, you know, those are things that we should be thankful for here. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're missing out on all of these things that you could be thankful for. But if you're here tonight and as a Christian, perhaps you haven't shown God the thanksgiving and appreciation that He deserves. You may need to change your attitude. You may need to be thankful more. All of us, I'm sure, need to be thankful more. But maybe we've just been ingrates. All these blessings He's given us, and we just look at the negatives. We need to look at the positives. I think about today. This morning, we could have got up and complained because it was rainy and dreary. Or we could have gotten up and been thankful because it was the warmest day we've had this week. But it was up to us which way we're going to look at that deal. God calls on us to have an optimistic outlook toward life. There's not room in the Christian life for being pessimistic, down on life, always negative. There's not room for us to be like that. We have too much to be thankful for. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.